Well, hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. This is where we take a fresh look at ourselves and the world around us. I'm Debbie Giorgiani with Jerry Usher, and as we've been saying for almost 7 years, you are the person we're looking for. We want to hear from you today as we talk about private revelations, Jerry.
We are going to be talking about that indeed. We'll tell you a little bit about what the church says regarding private revelations. And really, in a nutshell, what we mean by that is the church says that public revelation ended at the death of the last of the 12 apostles. That is, you know, public revelation as given by Jesus to the apostles, to the church. Since then, there have been many, many, many private revelations, such as Mary appearing to an individual like the little children at Fatima. There are, so I say, Marian apparitions. There are all sorts of private revelations, and we're going to talk about that today. And we just want to, you know, hear from you about your thoughts on what you think about that. You know, that the church does recognize many of these as being authentic. Our phone number is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
So do you think private revelations are valid? We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-3986. That's the number to call to be on the show. You'll call up, you'll speak to Matt Gabinski. He'll chat with you for a few minutes, talk to you, and then put you on hold. You'll get to listen live, and you'll slip right into the discussion, just like we were in a virtual living room, sharing a cool drink and just shooting the breeze. That's what it's all about. Now, you don't have to be Catholic to call in. Maybe you are wondering, what are they talking about, private revelations? What does this mean? Do you have to believe that as a Catholic? Well, call up and ask us the question. 833-288-3986. Do you believe in them? Do you believe in private revelations? Do you think we have to believe in them? What do you know about them? Do you practice certain devotions based on private revelations? We want to hear from you.
And again, we're going to look at what the church says about this, especially in official documents. And Debbie, if I may, I can read paragraph 67 from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, if you don't mind.
That would be great. Great start.
Well, and it's interesting that this paragraph appears early, very early in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And paragraph 67, it says, throughout the ages, there have been so-called, quote, private, end quote, revelations, some of which have been recognized by the authority of the church. They do not belong, however, to the deposit of faith. We were just talking about that. It is not their role to improve or complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help live more fully by it in a certain period of history. Guided by the magisterium of the church, the sensus fidelium, that means sense of the faithful, the sensus fidelium knows how to discern and welcome in these revelations whatever constitutes an authentic call of Christ or his saints to the church. And it ends with this sentence, Christ, a Christian faith, cannot accept, quote, revelations, end quote, that claim to surpass or correct the revelation of which Christ is the fulfillment, as is the case in certain non-Christian religions and also in certain recent sects, which base themselves on such revelations. So the church is very enthusiastic, Debbie, in putting these forward to us, but the church is also a very loving, cautious mother and tells us that not everything should be just believed at face value.
Right. And that's paragraph 67 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And then again, that was reiterated in the Directory of Popular Piety, I believe paragraph 90, it's like around page 42 or something of that area there, where the Directory of Popular Piety talks about private revelations and how, again, saying that it can definitely enhance our spiritual life. But it is something that we're not required to believe in as Catholic Christians, but the Church in its wisdom knows how to discern properly which ones we should follow and be devoted to if we choose to. So it's really quite interesting. The Church has us covered on private revelations. There are a lot of private revelations, and a lot of people are very much very devoted to certain certain devotions that they truly feel called in that area. So let's talk about that. So talk about private revelations in general, if you feel they're valid, how it has enhanced your spiritual life. Maybe you followed something in it and it turned out to not be something that good for your Christian life. Let's talk about it. 833-288-3986. And some claim to have private revelation. Some claim to be these things revealed by Christ or by the Blessed Mother or by angels or saints. And they have not been, validated by the church, Jerry. And so it's we have to be very careful.
Well, that we do, absolutely. And as Debbie was saying, you know, maybe you practice this or that devotion that came through a private revelation, such as maybe the five first Saturdays devotion that came through mm-hmm. Our Lady of Fatima the early 20th century. How about the Divine Mercy Chaplet and just the Divine Mercy way of life? That really was given to the church and to the world through St. Faustina, a private revelation, and it has become, of course, very much a part of the church right now because, St. Faustina was canonized by Pope John Paul II, who was really a huge proponent of the Divine Mercy. So, folks, we have the meat and potatoes of our faith. Father Mitch Pacwa talks about that. The meat mm-hmm. and potatoes is Scripture, the Catechism, the Magisterium. Those are the bones, the meat, the meaty stuff, meat and potatoes. And then we have what he might kind of call, you know, like dessert or some treats along the way. Mm-hmm. And those are these, private revelations that we can, if they're church approved, we can certainly grab them and run with them in our spiritual lives. And we'd love to hear from you what you think about maybe anyone in particular.
That's right. So we're talking about private revelations today, and we want your questions, your comments, your concerns, maybe some of the areas that you practice that you really, like the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Maybe you said, as soon as I took on the Divine Mercy, the Diary of St. Faustina and praying the Chaplet every day, my faith life just, boomed. It just went off the charts. And we want to hear about that. It's very, very important. Because these private revelations that are valid and the church approves them, they are to enhance our spiritual journey. It's to make it more alive and more complete. That's beautiful. That's a good thing. 833-288-3986.
Okay, we're gonna get to your calls momentarily here. Ace McKay, our producer, running the music there for us. We've got Jeff Burson on social media. If you're watching the video on YouTube and Facebook, hello. And you can also send us emails at take2@ewtn.com. Matt Gabensky screening your calls today, as usual. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you on EWTN Radio. So good to have you with us as we are talking about private revelations and maybe just we got a couple things of clarification in a moment. I want to tell you first of all, though, about EWTN Publishing, and they have got a wonderful, I can't bring this up right now. Let me see if I can. There it is. New book from EWTN Publishing, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration by Dr. Ray Guarendi. This is the book you need to master your anger so your anger won't master you. Dr. Ray unpacks the many types of anger and the types of people who suffer most from it. You'll learn why feelings aren't neutral and whether anger is a product of your nature or your nurture. You'll also learn the difference between righteous and unrighteous anger. There is a difference, and why those closest to us can anger us the most. Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration by Dr. Ray Guarendi, available at EWTNRC.com. Buy Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com.
Okay, a couple things. If you guys want to visit our website, take2show.com, to the right, you can subscribe, put your email in, and then you'll get the upcoming shows. You'll get it right in your inbox. It'll come up so that you don't have to email us and say, what's tomorrow's show? Because you want to get ready. But I'll just give you a little preview. Tomorrow's show is, what's your favorite place you've ever lived? We're going to virtually travel around the world through you, okay? So you're going to tell us the favorite place that you've lived, and then why, what you liked about it, the food, the culture. We want to live vicariously through you. Okay, so that's a great way to travel, and it's very inexpensive. We can just do it virtually. I like that. I'm doing everything virtually these days, Jerry, saving a lot of money on gas and stuff.
That's for sure. That is for sure. All right. So again, yeah, a couple points of clarification. You know, we're not asking you to share your own private revelations, like Mary appearing to you or Jesus or this or that saint, Saint Joseph, whatever. If that's happened to you, praise God. That's between you and God. But we're really just talking about the many. Prefer to talk about the ones that are approved by the church, well known, better known. There was one. I don't know what her level of beatification is, if anything, right now, but I read a book called The Way of Divine Love many years ago. It was about the life of Sister Josepha Menendez. She was a sister of the Society of the Sacred Heart, and it had every marking of being authentic, but I have never heard anything official about her or her. She had apparitions, visits by Jesus, and so forth. So there are a lot of those out there, and there's nothing wrong with looking into those and following the devotional ways that they might present to us. But again, we want to just be very, very, focusing in on those that are approved by the church. And of course, Debbie and I are not experts on all of them. So just a little heads up on a couple of things there.
Right. But we want to talk about, and we have a lot of new listeners each and every time we do this show on the weekdays. So we understand that. And you may have a question about that. Like, what is a private revelation? What does that mean? And do you have to believe it in order to be authentically Catholic? We want to answer those questions. Those are basic questions of being a Catholic, and that's a good thing. So let's have those discussions. So please call up if you have any questions about private revelations in general. The number to dial is 833-288-3986. And please, if you all of a sudden got introduced to the Divine Mercy Chaplet and the whole devotion of the Divine Mercy, and it changed your spiritual life, it did for me. I want to just share real quickly, if I may, before we get to the phones, Jerry. I just wanted to share this. Rick Paolini, the business manager of the Station of the Cross, and we were working together on a pledge drive many years ago, and Rick is a big, big, he's truly devoted and committed to Divine Mercy and spreading the message and the image, the Divine Mercy image, Jesus, I trust in you, and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And I used to hear him talk about it on the pledge drives for, quite several years, Jerry. And all of a sudden I thought, I got to get into this devotion. And I want to thank Rick Paolini. I've thanked him publicly many times, but it was because of Rick and his passion for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and the whole Faustina message that it really did change, and it really did enhance my spiritual life. And I am forever grateful to him and his passion for the devotion, that it enhanced my spiritual life. So see how that can work. And if that's happened to you, share it with us. 833-288-3986.
All right, and other ways you can join the broadcast, of course, email take2@ewtn.com. You can post your comments, as I mentioned before, on Facebook or YouTube, the chat section there on those pages of EWTN Catholic Radio. And what else? You can post on the show website. Take2show.com is another way that you can get in on the conversation for the program today. Do you pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet? If you do, have you read the Diary of St. Faustina?
Oh, it's amazing.
It is absolutely so amazing. We live in a world of fear, Debbie, right now. And, I think the truth is the Lord, God allows so many of these private revelations for particular periods in history, time for what the world is going through. And the world in the last, couple centuries has been going through absolute torment with war and violence and hatred and so forth. And you take something like the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and there's so much fear, there's so much worry. People are thinking, God can't love me, God can't forgive me. And what do we get? Jesus appearing to St. Faustina and gives her the message of the Divine Mercy. And it is so comforting. It's so consoling. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of God we have, Debbie. He looks down upon the earth, and where he sees a need for, say, Mary to make an apparition or Jesus or something, He allows that to happen, and lives are changed and souls are saved.
That's right. That's right. Oh, and let me tell you, I say, Jesus, I trust in you probably 1,000 times a day. I'm not joking. Mm-hmm. And it really is what gets me through the day, because I mean, if you just turn on the news, folks, it can be very, very depressing. I mean, things are not going in a good direction in this world. And it's so obvious to me anyway, it's so obvious to me. And I have to constantly say, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. And I love that Divine Mercy image. I think everybody should have it a blessed Divine Mercy image in their home and have it right displayed prominently, maybe in the window or on your front door. Absolutely. So let's hear what our wonderful Take Two family has to say. Let's go to Mary Lou first. She's a first-time caller in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Mary Lou. Thank you so much, and welcome to Take Two.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I am a first-time caller. But I heard your conversation on the radio here, and I thought, I just got to call and hear a few things. First of all, you're bringing up the Divine Mercy image. During COVID, I will say, I bought a big banner through Amazon, and I hung it in my bedroom, and I'll tell you that Jesus, I trust in you did bring me a lot of comfort. And yes, I have read St. Faustina's diary, and you're right. It is just chock full of wisdom. But I also called for the fact that you're talking about the rosary and the Divine Mercy chaplet and how that helps our spiritual walk. Our parish, Padre Pio, and I know you've been there because I met you both there some time back. In awe when I met you both. I was tongue-tied. Anyway, the thing is on the website, it has an app for doing the rosary from St. Father John Ricardo, and it's a scriptural rosary. And I found by just turning that on at night, if my mind wants to settle down, it needs something, I will be saying the rosary of Father John Ricardo, the scriptural rosary, and that really does bring me a lot of comfort and peace. And so also I wanted to share with you, on Mother's Day, I was to drive up to Dallas, and I really was apprehensive about the drive. I just wasn't feeling very well about the drive. I wanted to see the family, but I didn't want to do that 4.5-hour drive. So I thought of my CD player. I have a CD of the Mary Foundation of the Rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet on it. So I went ahead and put that in my car, in the CD player, and I played that on and off all the way up there, pretty much all the time. And by the time I got there, it was the most relaxed, and I just felt so much better than I normally do, because usually after 4.5 hours, I'm like tense, and my neck kind of hurts. And this time when I got there, I didn't have that. And I know it was the power of the prayers. So I just wanted to share that with y'all.
Wow, Mary Lou, it was great being with you in San Antonio, where we had that Jerry and Debbie pilgrimage. We're hoping to get back into doing those again one of these days pretty soon, hopefully, although it looks like who knows what's going to happen with, you know, all the variants and the monkeypox and all of that. We certainly hope to have things open enough so that we can do more of that. But you've touched on so many beautiful things, and I think one of those is, like you said, when we're driving, when we're traveling, it can definitely be an antidote for road rage. A lot of people use about praying of the rosary. It's hard to make unhealthy gestures at people when you're holding the rosary beads in your hand and you've got maybe bumper stickers on your car. But that is so great. That is so beautiful. And I know a lot of families, Debbie and Mary Lou, who will play the Divine Mercy Chaplet. They'll play Christian music or hymns or Gregorian chant or something. And it's just a more peaceful, more serene ride, and people get there, they're not agitated, and you know, I think it's much more enjoyable for them.
Absolutely, and they've actually done studies on it, Mary Lou, with praying the rosary. The heart rate goes down. You know, things do become very calm in the interior spirit. There's when you go into a meditative kind of gesture, and you are focused on the mysteries of the Rosary, or you're listening to Christian music, or you're praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, the body tends to settle. You know, they've even noticed it in animals as well. Same thing. And so, what does that tell us? It tells us that there's something very very right about it, you know, for us to enter into that, because this world wants us to be agitated, or I should say the demons of the world want us to be agitated. Being agitated is a key component of the first hook that they get us, right? They get us irritated, agitated, and then we react. And so when we are focusing on God, when we are settled, when we are balanced in our interior spirit, okay, it's much harder to get agitated. And that's a beautiful thing. So I definitely think that these devotionals are very helpful to us, especially living in this world where the demons are trying to get to us and really get us to react. That's the key. You know, they want us to react, not respond. And when we are in a prayerful state, we tend to respond better. What do you think, Mary Lou?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I was surprised. Last night I was watching TV, and I turned on this one station, and they were advertising about how music relaxes the body, and it's actually so very healthy for you to do. And I thought to myself, yeah, some music is very relaxing and helpful for you, but also there are some songs, especially today, if you listen to the lyrics, it is anything but appropriate, if that's the right word to use. I mean, they really kind of promote a reckless lifestyle, and in the long run, you just really don't win. And I'm like, no, some music is very relaxing if it's more meditative and kind of focused on Jesus. It is, but you have to be careful what's out there in the secular world. So I really couldn't agree with them that music is beneficial, and they actually put a rating on this advertisement that different kind of music that was, you know, really, really beneficial, and gospel music was like tiny, tiny, tiny beneficial. I was like, no, it's the other way around. So yeah, I agree with you completely.
Very good, Mary Lou. God bless you. Thanks for being a first-time caller to the program. We appreciate that. You've gotten us off to a great start. And we're going to get to Shayla in just a moment here. We do have an open phone line, though, and we're talking about private revelations. These would be appearances by the Virgin Mary to little children, to a religious sister, to lay people, to priests sometimes. It could be Jesus appearing. It could be any sort of things like this that you maybe have heard about and perhaps incorporated into your spiritual life, and we would love to hear about how that has gone for you. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And Debbie Dave, who's watching on YouTube, he has a question here. He says, were the apparitions of our Blessed Mother at Fatima private? He says, while the crowd of 70,000 didn't see or hear her, they did see the miracle of the sun. Is that just 70,000 private revelations? How would we answer that?
That's a really good...
It is a good question, you know.
That is a good question. Well, I mean, you know, the church did a deep investigation into Fatima and, you know, and tracked it for many years. And I think that, you know, Fatima, above all, has the most publicity, if you will, and it has been promoted generally around the world, and that's very important. But that's interesting because the miracle of the sun does open it up to the public, which now people enter into that. So I think that only helps in authenticating it. Correct?
So, yeah, absolutely helps to authenticate it. And I would just say that the private revelation still, I would say, was for the three children. Mm-hmm. You know, this was a phenomenon connected to the private revelations. But I would say, I wouldn't say there were 70,000 private revelations, Dave, but definitely the ones to the three children and how important they were then and how important they are now. 833-288-3986. Join our conversation about private revelations approved by the church. Thank you for making Take Two with Jerry and Debbie part of your day. We hope you can listen to all of the program, but even a little part is a blessing to us. We have our show team in place. Ace McKay is our producer. Jeff Burson is on social media. Matt Gavinsky screening your calls at 833-288-3986. As we talk about private revelation, again, at the start of the show, if you missed it, we talked about how public revelation ended with the death of the last apostle. That is the revelation, the truth, the teachings that came from Jesus to the apostles for the sake of the church. And we still, of course, have those now, well over 2,000 years later. But private revelation has been given to a lot of people. We don't have to believe any of them, but many of them have been approved by the church and are very worthy of our fervent attention and devotion. So we're talking about that today. If you would like to join the conversation as we go to, well, here's the number, 833-288-3986, as we go to Shayla in Salina. Salina, is it's first time caller. Is it Salina, Kansas? I think, Shayla?
It's Salina.
Salina, yeah, I thought that was it. Welcome. Thanks for waiting. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well, thanks.
So my question to you is, we had a retreat in our diocese in a town called Plainville, Kansas, about 3 weeks ago, where a priest came who is the head of a healing ministry, and he travels the world. And he was spreading what is called the flame of love. And I was wondering if you had ever heard of the flame of love, and if you could kind of elaborate a little bit more on the story of Elizabeth Kindleman and kind of what it's all about.
Yeah, thanks for the question. I personally, I'm familiar with it tangentially, because a lot of mostly ladies in my parish are very, very much devoted to this. And I am part of a group text thread where people just kind of are throwing out texts, you know, at various times in the day and night about things that they're thinking about or praying about or whatever. And so the flame of love movement or devotion has come across on those text threads many times. I think you mentioned Elizabeth Kindleman. She was a laywoman from Budapest, Hungary. She died in 1985, and like St. Faustina, she was given a mission by God and his mother for his church to emphasize a special grace from God and his church at this particular time in history. And that cause is, as you were saying, it's the flame of love. And they have had priests who have looked into this. Cardinal Peter Erdo, Archbishop of Elizabeth's Archdiocese of Buffalo, went deeply into the question. He established a theological commission, and in 2009, he said that the commission found her writings free from error. And so since then, other Hungarian dioceses have done the same, as have other dioceses around the world. In the U.S. here, the Flame of Love movement is just beginning, but I'm on a website here. There's about a minute and 20-second video featuring Bishop David Ricken of the Diocese of Green Bay. I'm known to me, and I think many, to be a very, very solid and outstanding bishop. So he's obviously given it his promotion as well. Now, as far as what the devotion is, that's where my extent of my knowledge would probably end. I'm not really sure. Let me see here. I don't know. Debbie, do you know more about that?
Well, I have a question. Shayla, you went to this retreat and this healing priest promoted this devotion. What was the main theme of it, and what can it do for your spiritual life? Because usually they go into that.
So it got pretty crazy. His name is Father James Blount, B-L-O-U-N-T. He has some incredible YouTube videos, and it's talking about bringing back Christ and how we need to do something because our children are dying and our spiritual world is just so bad and abortion is so bad and, you know, God needs to intervene. And it's about, there's a prayer that's added into the Hail Mary right after sinners. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And this priest has a healing ministry, and he's been given the power of apostolic teaching. And he actually came over to my father's house a few days after, and he's seeing things all the time and having visions and all kinds of things. And He's talking about bringing on the refugees and getting us prepared and making sure that we're prepared if the 3 days of darkness were to come, and how we don't have much time left, and to just really pray. And there's also another prayer, 12 words, may the precious blood of Jesus Christ save us and the whole world. And we're supposed to pray that 155 times a day, and it will completely blind Satan. And that, along with the unity prayer that was given to Elizabeth Kindleman, can completely blind Satan. He cannot see you and cannot touch you or anywhere that you are. So I thought just promoting those two prayers maybe would be a great thing for people to hear.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very familiar with Father James Blount, and I believe it's spelt B-L-O-U-N-T. So some people say Blount. I think it's Blount. That's how he pronounced it. I always ask my brother that. My brother knows him very well. You're very fortunate to have had him visit your church. And yes, he is very deeply mystical, and he very much has deep feelings about things, and things have been revealed to him. This is what he has shared. And there's a lot of things that he says that I really think are necessary for the times we live in, because Father James Blount has a way of expressing the urgency of what's going on in this world and how we need to ramp it up in our deep devotion and our prayer life. And so I think for that part of it, Shayla, he's spot on, because he's sounding the alarm that we're in trouble, okay? We really are. Humanity's going in a certain direction that is not of God. And so, you know, for that, I truly commend him for going out there and really trying to get everybody to heighten their prayer life and to go deeper and to go stronger and more focused. Now, as for it being something that we, you know, obviously have to believe in or adopt, no, we don't have to. And I really don't know where the church stands on some of the direction of what he has been sharing for many years now. However, I would say this: when any priest or any religious and they visit our churches, they come to for missions or for retreats or anything of that nature, and they are encouraging us to go deeper, I say we take it on. That is a definite, because I think we have too many people swimming on the shallow end of the pool, and that's not good. We need people to go deep now. And so for that, I would say, amen, let's go deep. So what do you think, Shayla? I kind of danced around it only because, you know, we really don't know exactly how the church feels about certain things. So
I'm saying amen back to you. That was awesome.
Aw, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Yeah, I agree. It's time for us to go deep, Jerry.
It is. It is. Thank you, Shayla, for the call. We appreciate that. And if you find out any more about the specifics of that devotion, Flame of Love, feel free to email us anytime, take2@ewtn.com. I am totally with you, Debbie. I think prayer right now, prayer at any time is the oxygen that we breathe. And I think a lot of people just aren't praying right now. They may be going to Mass on Sundays, just kind of going through the motions, things like this. And this is not, I'm not speaking to anybody or any group in particular. I'm just saying in general, there are a lot of people who are not really ratcheting up that prayer life, that devotional life, and even like you're big on fasting, you know, fasting and praying and so forth. And time is short. Whether that's for the duration of our lives or when Jesus is going to return, one way or another, time is short. So we've got to get serious.
Well, and I just want to say something, and I'm not making any judgments. I'm not, because I used to see this all the time in the parish work that I did for 25 years. I was a liturgy coordinator. I used to stand in the back at the Narthex area, and I used to see people shaking their heads, walking out of Mass, doing all sorts of things, okay? So I'm not making any judgments, but this past weekend when we were at Mass, Father, he's a wonderful priest from Africa, amazing. He was so good. Boy, was he powerful. He had us in our responses. He kept saying, come on, I don't hear you. Get louder. He was so great. Anyway, at the end of Mass, he went on to just reiterate the teaching of what we believe as Catholic Christians about abortion. Okay. And two beautiful elderly couple were sitting next to Marty and I. And they were wonderful. We had smiled at them during Mass and everything. Anyway, they were so frustrated and upset. They were grumbling. They were upset. They couldn't wait till he stopped to speak. Everybody gave him an ovation. They all clapped. They got up in a very dramatic move and walked out.
Mm.
Okay? And all I want to say is this, okay? You know, we have the tenets of our faith, the beliefs of our faith. Okay, we either are Catholic or we're not. If we pretend like we're somewhere in between, that's just, we're just pretending. We're just pretending. We either are fully Catholic or we're dancing on the edges and we're on the sidelines. Okay, and we have too many like that. So I just say, if you're going to be Catholic, be 100% Catholic, be authentically Catholic. Okay, go all the way. But to sit there and make a dramatic statement like you're upset that the priest is saying what we believe. I mean, to me, I find that to be, I don't know, kind of lame. I'll just be honest with you.
No, I appreciate your sentiments on that. Yeah, and if we're not moving forward, folks, we're moving backward. And again, we mentioned it on this broadcast today. This is often the reason that God will send Mary or Jesus or allow various private revelations to take place on this earth is to kind of shake us out of our doldrums, so to speak, and get us really to go deeper, as Debbie said, in our faith. So let's all really, really try and take our faith as seriously as we can.
Absolutely. Hot. Remember what the scripture says, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You should, I wish that you were either hot or cold. Jesus says, I think in the book of Revelation, but since you were lukewarm, I will spit you. I will vomit you out of my mouth.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't want to be vomited out of our Lord's mouth on judgment day. So I'm doing what my feeble, broken, wounded little mind, heart, and soul can do. So
me too. Yep. Okay. Let's hear what Kathleen has to say. First time caller from Chicago, Illinois. Thank you, Kathleen. And welcome to Take Two.
Hi.
Hello there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yep. Perfectly.
Oh, great. Hi. So I just wanted to share that I'm a nursing student, and this morning we had a really big test. It was a 100-question test, and you had to finish in 100 minutes, and I was so nervous. And before I left the car, I did say a Divine Mercy chaplet, and it just calmed my heart, and it just centered me. And I went in, and I passed the test, and I did really good. And so, yeah, I wanted to share that. And most people did not pass, so they have to take it over again. But, yeah, so I just find that also, like, I was halfway through, I was on, like, question 54, and I felt that the voice was saying, what are you doing? You can't do this. You're not capable. And I was just saying, no, go away. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's, I say that constantly, like you were saying, and it really helps me. You know, so just want to share.
Good job, Kathleen. Congratulations. Way to go. That is awesome. Beautiful. And you know what I love? How you said you quoted scripture too. When you were feeling like, you know, the evil one is trying to distract you and get you off the mark and say, oh, Kathleen, you're not going to make it. You're going to be like everybody else. You're not going to pass it. You said, no, no, no. I love the way you did that. See, there's strength. There's strength in Christ. There's strength in the living word of God. There's strength in constantly saying how much we trust in God and how we are dependent upon God. I mean, it's so important, and there's an amazing a sense of calm that comes over us, but also there's a peace and there's an understanding, there's an enlightenment, and that is a beautiful thing. So Kathleen, way to go. You're just going to fly to the front of the class there. I love it, and thank you for the work that you're doing in nursing. We love our nurses, right, Jerry?
Absolutely. We can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. And Kathleen, what you did is you placed yourself directly in the center of Christ in his Sacred Heart by praying a Divine Mercy chaplet. How can the Lord let anybody down who's going to be have that devotion to him? And not only that, you got graces for your exam, but also you just think about the souls that you touched. Because when we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, it's so often that Jesus wants to give graces to the souls in purgatory, to poor sinners, to people who are away from him. So you did a beautiful thing for others while bolstering your own spiritual and intellectual strength to take that exam. So way to go.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Kathleen. Congratulations again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know how those long exams can be. And mm-hmm. they can be very stressful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so let's hear what Sue has to say in Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Sue. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Doing well.
How are you?
Thank you.
Good. I'm great. Well, first of all, I just want to say amen to everything that everyone has been saying. But my point that I wanted to make is that if we look at the apparitions of Mary going to the Miraculous Medal and Lourdes and La Salette and Fatima, there is really a theme going throughout that. And really, it's a theme of let's wake up and pray and really pray. And, you know, when I was talking to, I think it's Matt, he mentioned something about Lourdes and about a brick. And on that was praying for Russia. And that was in the 1800s. And what we don't realize or don't talk about enough is that all these ideas and, I mean, crazy ideas about our world really come from that time period and before. And that if you were to look at a lot of the philosophers in the 1800s, they really started a real damage to our beliefs. And God was just gently through all of these messages trying to say, wake up,
right.
Pray.
Right. Well, Sue, let me share one word that always comes to me when I read about private revelations, apparitions throughout the centuries. This is the word that comes to mind for me. Focus. If you look at it, when the Blessed Mother was conversing with the children, when she came and she appeared, what would she say? You know, she would say the prayers, you know, be very focused, be very, you know, intentional, you know, take your time. Okay, why is that? Because the demons, all they want to do is get us off focus. They want to distract us. I had a wonderful priest that I worked for many years. He's gone on for his heavenly rewards. He was amazing, Father Doug Lorig. And he used to say all the time, you know, pay attention, stay focused, stay alert. You know, don't let Satan get you off the track, get you off the mark. And that's all he'll try to do. It's like a something that irritates you. Did you ever have like a bug bite or something on your body? And it's just irritating you enough that you can't even function until you do something to scratch that or to put some medicine on it, right? That's what it's like with the demons. They're constantly trying to get us just to slightly turn a little off so that we lose focus. And once you lose focus, okay, that's when bad choices, that's when bad things can happen, because we go into autopilot. You know, human nature is so predictable. We just go into autopilot and we make some, and I'm speaking for myself as well, we can make some really dumb moves, okay? But to stay focused, we know the path, we know the direction, we know our destination. And if we have all that in right in view and clear, okay, we can make it. We can make it through anything in this world, and that's an important thing. So, Sue, what do you think of what I just shared?
I agree with you altogether about focus. And also another thing is the word normal. I don't know if you ever have that come up, but it's like, well, everything's normal. Everything's normal. You don't have to worry because everything's normal. It's not normal, but it's become a word that we tend to jump to. Well, everything's normal. I see the sun out there. I see people doing things. Everything's normal. So you think, oh, okay, I guess it's not that bad. And that's part of the problem. That's part of the whole focus thing, too.
Absolutely. It's the deception. You know, deception it becomes normalized very easily because people want to make things okay for them. We constantly, as in human nature, we rationalize. You know, this is what has happened with the whole, you know, LGBTQ agenda. Everything is trying to be normalized and it's okay because love is love and this and that. And so once you start to do that, you lower the bar. You lower it so low that now everything goes or anything goes. And now we have mass chaos. And that's exactly what the demons want us to be in, is chaos. Just look around the world right now. That's all we have is chaos. Okay? We need to get back to natural law, God's will. We need to get back to the living word of God in scripture. We know we have this beautiful book to help us and to guide us. And yet we constantly say, oh, that's archaic. That's behind the times. We got to change things. No, it's relevant today. That's why it's the living word of God. It's living. Right, Jerry?
Absolutely. Living and active. What does it say? Like a two-edged sword, able to pierce, bone and marrow. I'm probably paraphrasing very, very badly scripture there as well. But yeah, the word of God is always alive and active. And we should put it to tremendous use in our lives. Sue, what do you think? Anything else?
Man, I agree. I love reading scripture, and sometimes it's funny because you don't know necessarily what's going to happen during the course of the day. Mm-hmm. And you're reading scripture, and then as you're going through, all of a sudden it's like, you know, it's brought back to your mind what you read, and it gives you clear direction where you should go, where you shouldn't go. It's just wonderful.
Amen. Amen, Sue. Thank you so much for being part of our conversation today on Take Two. We appreciate it very, very much. We are going to try to get to everybody. Beverly, hang on. You're going to be next, but I have to tell everybody about Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, T, as she calls herself, or many people call her T, mornings, Monday through Friday, 9 Eastern Time on EWTN Catholic Radio. Teresa and her guests share their Catholic perspective on the day's news and newsmakers. Folks, you're going to get a lot of news out there in the world, but you want it from a reliable Catholic source. Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, weekday mornings at 9 Eastern Time on EWTN Radio.
Love it. I love that show. Okay, Beverly, you're up next, listening on Sirius XM 130 in beautiful Savannah, Georgia. Hi, Beverly. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. My comment is, my husband has ALS. And I called you when it first started in 2019. He was given 6 months to live. We all, our church and friends, began saying the rosary faithfully in masses. And the miracle is that he is still with us. He is declining. He was had an incident yesterday where his PTSD kicked in and his ALS. He's just very depressed about it. And I walked in and I said, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to pray. He was in the military, Marines, 4 years in Air Force. And I said to him, okay, you need to pray. Like you said, when somebody's in the foxhole and you're in the war, what do you do when the war is happening? You pray. We've lost 2 daughters 5 years apart. They were 31. What did we do to keep our marriage together? We prayed. And he is a devout Catholic convert. He's taught CCD. He has a wheelchair, which we have issues, but he insists that we get to Mass on Saturdays. And everybody is so grateful, and we just encourages all of us to pray. And I was perturbed Saturday night when we went to Mass because I think people don't even have a focus on the altar, and it's just really distracting that they don't. It's not the children, because children are you can overlook all of them. It's the parents not acting. They're just there to be there. Mm-hmm. And my prayer is they learn the rosary and get back into their faith.
Right. Beverly, real quick here. I know we have your husband's name in our prayer book because you said you called in 2019. We have new listeners all the time who want to be praying for people who are in our prayer book. So remind us of your husband's name because we're about to end the program here in a second.
His name is Sam.
Sam. Okay. Thank you, Beverly. We will pray for Sam, for you, for all of your family. Sounds like you're handling it as beautifully as you possibly can. We praise God for that. Keep praying. Mm-hmm. And please, you, and please ask Sam to pray for us and the Take Two family as well, because I know his prayers are powerful.
Absolutely. Mark and the others, we're not going to get to you, but you can always email us. We read everything. Take2@EWTN.com. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about what's your favorite place you've ever lived. We want to hear why, the culture, the food, the people, everything, all the details. Right, Jer?
Absolutely. Please join us for that tomorrow. Thanks again to the show team. Thank you, affiliates and networks, for carrying Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. If your local station does not carry it and you listen some other way, maybe you'd like to give them a friendly call and just say, I love Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Why don't you put them on your station? Maybe they will. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. St. Joseph, pray for us.